Shalom. This is Reuven Ibrahimov, also known as the Haftorah Man. And this week's Haftarah is from Parashat Terumah. So, the first connection we look for is, why are we reading this Haftarah? And the answer is, let's go look at the Parsha, the weekly portion. In the weekly portion, God gave instructions to Moses to build a Mishkan, to Moshe Rabbeinu to build a Mishkan, the tabernacle. Okay, so now, is it hard to find a similar situation instead of being in the five books of Moses in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, that we found it in the Nevi'im, in the books of the prophets, where all the Haftorahs come from? Well, they zoom, boom, right to the book of Melachim, Kings, and who do they look at? Shlomo HaMelech. Why? Because he was the one that the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed, that God instructed to build the Beit HaMikdash, the holy house, the house that King Solomon built. So first of all, we understand the connection. Now, who was Shlomo HaMelech? He was the son of David, the King David, and his mother was Bathsheba. What else do we know about him? Well, he was the wisest man that ever lived. What else? He wrote three books, Mishle, Kohelet, and Shir HaShirim. Next, when did he become king? Very young age, like bar mitzvah age. When did he start building the Beit HaMikdash? About 4 or 5 years later, when he was about 16. How long did it take for him to build it? 7 years. So he was 23 years old, young man. He is the head on top of all things in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Shlomo HaMelech was like the old Dr. Doolittle. He spoke all the languages of the world and even the languages of the animals. And he was the one in charge that was given the privilege of building the Beit HaMikdash. Where do all these haftarot talking about the building of the Beit HaMikdash happen? Easy, Yerushalayim. Okay, when did it happen? Okay, about 2,999 years ago. Almost 3,000 years ago. That's when David lived. Okay, let's dive into the Haftarah. So it starts off that it says that Shlomo HaMelech gave to Hiram. Now, who is this Hiram? He was the Michelangelo of his time. He was the greatest artisan, and he was put in charge of building the Beit HaMikdash, the world's greatest temple and sanctuary. Now, they went through tremendous efforts to bring the materials to Yerushalayim. So God gave wisdom to Shlomo, and now there's peace between this man Hiram up north, where Syria is today, and now there is peace between the two of them. What do they do? Shlomo says, you know what? I need a labor force to bring the rocks and stones and wood. Oh, sorry, not Syria, Lebanon. So now they need to bring the stones. So he says, I'm going to tax the population, uses the word mas, tax the population. How? I'm going to take 30,000 men. They're on the staff that are on the construction crew of Beit HaMikdash. What do? He would take every month 10,000 men, would go up north and work, and then they would come back for 60 days off, and then the next crew would come up and they would work, and then he would cycle through these 10,000 men. Beginning. Then, what do? He used 70,000 men to quarry and 80,000 men to chop wood. This was an amazing, amazing, what we can say, Herculean effort to get the materials. And they would float the materials down the Mediterranean and bring them across land, all mysteries how they did these wonderful things. If you go to Yerushalayim now, you'll see these stones. They're the size of like a Mack truck. How they moved them in those days without cranes is amazing. So it talks about how they would build the Beit HaMikdash. Remember, you are not allowed to use metal objects on the stone. Metal was the material from which swords and spears were made. And in order to keep things on an energy, a spiritual energy level, correct, you were not allowed to use stone, metal to stone, to break the stones. So now what do? So the Gemara goes through this lengthy and fantastic, exciting story of how Shlomo HaMelech seeks the Shamir. This was a mystical, let's call it a termite-like worm that was able to eat like a Pac-Man through stone. So there was no metal hitting the stone. And that Shlomo finally subsistence of this mystical animal, and now the Beit HaMikdash is being built. And if you look at it, it describes that it was 60 amos long and 20 high. So you say, how long is an ama? Well, guess what? It's just from your elbow to here. Why? Because they would take string. But today, in the time of precision measurements, it's way different than it was in those days. If you had a foot tall man, the distance between here and here was different than if you had a 5 foot tall man. So it was a relative term of us. And that the Beit HaMikdash, let's say, was about 90 feet long. When you go to the Kotel and you stand by the western wall, that is the back side of the Beit HaMikdash. That is the section where the Kadosh HaKadashim was, the Holy of Holies. The entrance was on the other side, by the eastern wall. So it's important to remember the orientation, because whenever I stood at the wall, the direction would have kept going. Coming the other way. Next, it goes through the different descriptions in the floor plans. I don't have them on video right now. However, if you look for my handouts, you'll see the floor plan of the Beit HaMikdash. There was a area, rectangular space, and then within it there was an area called the Kadosh, the holy space, and that is where they kept the different menorahs in there, and that's where they had all the other place where they kept the lechem hapanim, the bread. So now what happens? They build the Kadosh HaKadashim, the Holy of Holies, where it housed the Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark. So you could see, this time is a tremendous, tremendous and elated moment in the lives of the Jewish people. This was how Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash. So, history repeats itself. And we had at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, we had the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And today, we're reading about Shlomo, King Solomon, and his building of King Solomon's temple, the Holy Temple. But we hope that history will repeat itself once again. And all of us are praying for the Mashiach to come, and he should be the one that initiates the rebuilding of Yechezkel's third and final Beit HaMikdash. Shabbat Shalom.